Good morning, St. Ben's. It's so nice to be back with you. Reverend Caro has chosen three wonderful readings today as we celebrate the feast of St. Francis. The last time we were here, it was the feast of St. Benedict's, and now it's St. Francis, and what a lovely opportunity to be with you as I can see that this community seeks to live into the teachings and the lives of both of these saints. But before I get to that, I want to say something about this first reading from Job, because it's really unusual, isn't it? It's near the end. It's chapter 39. And Job has been making this case kind of for himself to God, that he's righteous, that he didn't deserve to have God destroy his whole life, his children, his wife, his belongings, his animals. But in this passage, God's giving it back to Job. He's saying, like, really? Do you know, like, when the mountain goats have their babies? Do you know, this? Do you know all these things that are happening? And, no, Job doesn't know those things, and he kind of repents off his high horse and becomes sort of humble again, and then he's reconciled, and he's given twice as much as he had before, which is great for him, but maybe not so great for his family, that first family. If you haven't read Job, it is quite a wonderful book that really goes into suffering and justice and lack of justice and so on. But what really captured my attention today is the last line in the gospel that Jen just read. It is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So, do we really know what that means? Like, what is this kingdom of God that God wants to give us? When you close your eyes, do you think, oh yeah, this is the kingdom? I understand. Do you know in your heart what it is that Jesus is repeatedly speaking of? And do you think that the kingdom today is the same as the kingdom would be then? So what we do know is we know that St. Francis's vision of the kingdom was. He actually sought a world very much in keeping with the gospel message today in Luke. He didn't worry about what he ate. He did not worry about what he wore. He removed his fine clothes and put on burlap sack. He gave away his belongings and inheritance, and he truly relied on God to provide for him. He's kind of like the epitome of a downward mobility. Not all that popular, really, for most of humanity. And the men and the women who followed him, I mean, they truly embraced poverty and commitment to live free of possessions and all the obligations that come with them, with accumulating. And he made his family the creatures, large and small, which he called brother and sister, wolves and squirrels and birds. Saint Francis saw the sacred in creation in a most tangible way. And his reverence of beauty had a great influence on the European art world. Things changed quite a bit during the influence of St. Francis, which the art we still revere so much today. And I think this kingdom that St. Francis embodies is very much in keeping with this beautiful second reading that we had today. This moving poem, to live is to love, by Ernesto Cardenal. This is a cherished poet from Nicaragua who he got in trouble for supporting the revolution of the Sandinistas, which were committed to ousting a very cruel, evil, authoritarian dictator. But I hadn't read this poem, and in this poem, he speaks to the relationship between God and creation, calling creatures God's love letter to us. So beautiful. And this line particularly touched my heart. All of nature burns with love created through love to light love in us. All of nature burns with love created through love to light love in us. That's some pretty kingdom sounding words, images, isn't it? Another version of the kingdom is what the Jesuit priest Father Greg Boyle, the founder of Homeboy Industries and the author of 3 New York Times bestselling books, speaks of in his books, in his writing. He has a very distinct vision of the kingdom of God, which he has claimed as the kingdom of God. By taking the G out of the word, he's taken away the hierarchy. He's created a lateral kingdom of family, of kindred souls. His mission has always been to awaken compassion through heartbreaking stories he tells. And if you haven't read his books, I highly recommend that you do. They'll make you laugh and cry and laugh and cry over and over. But his stories are stories designed to open our hearts for those our society most demonizes, which is gang members. And he, by telling these stories, these backstories of the men and women, he provides a place, a safe place for, a place of transition from gang life. He has offered for us a way to have compassion, a way to imagine family, kinship. He seeks to bring together the human family. That's his vision of the kingdom of God, where there is no us and them, only us. In today's passage, Jesus tells us to consider the ravens and lilies who do not toil, but have their needs met by God. Now, this passage comes right after the one about the rich man building barns to store his harvest. He's hoarding, really. He clings to his wealth, and he does not share, but he just accumulates, which, gee, sounds like what goes on today, of course. The few who have so much and the rest who struggle to make ends meet. And this is exactly what Jesus asks us not to do. Jesus asks us to consider the ravens who neither sow nor reap, and the lilies who neither toil nor spin. So the scholarship says that the ravens are symbolized the men who traditionally reap and sow, and the lilies are the women who spin, making the necessary cloth for their families. He says that God knows we need these things, but that we must strive first for the kingdom, not accumulating, and that these things will be provided. What is the kingdom of God for you? Is it a place with no worries? A place where your needs are met without toil? Do we just need to have faith for this God to provide all that we need? St. Francis and his beloved Claire, St. Claire, they refused to participate in the power structures of their day. Like Jesus, they opted out of the ambition game of the get ahead and succeed story. They said no to the power structures. By their choices, they were deconstructing the systems of domination. The church does this. The church can be a beacon of this. It can stand in contrast to the obsessive consumerism and oppressive power structures. It can raise up the needs of the marginalized and support the least. It can lead in care for the earth, which you all, I know, are doing so well here. There's a nascent movement of voices rising up against structures of domination, and the church needs to be in there participating. For me, the kingdom of God is when the lions and the lambs lay down together, when the powers of domination are set free to live in balance with the least. When the world is truly just and all of creation lives with dignity and respect. And I think we need to imagine this kingdom into existence. We need to commit to Jesus' original plan, where there's an appreciation of our interconnectedness, where we do not hoard, but share, and we live in peace and kindness. I believe in this better world that God wants us to have. And maybe the darkness and chaos of this time we're in is the birthing pains that will bring us into an existence that looks more like the kingdom of God. Maybe we can consider living free of worry, united to grace, in touch with that inner kingdom where the peace that passes all understanding exists. From there, we can participate in this transformation from where we are to where we all want to be. And we give thanks for Saint Francis and the vision of the kingdom that he left for us, for this world. Amen.